You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Weekend Preview with Bix and Walshy on SENSA.
Round two of the 2023 Toyota AFL season kicks off Thursday night at the MCG. Mark Bickley, Jared Walsh here, and we go into a preview with all of the matches, Bix. Now, full disclosure, this is a Thursday morning. We are unfamiliar with our selection at the moment, so we're just giving a brief overview into the matches coming up.
And we will be giving our thoughts on selection, which will let you know how close we are to getting it right. By the time you hear this, maybe the teams will already be picked.
Let's focus on the two Adelaide teams who are playing this weekend. So the first game of the round featuring a South Australian team is Saturday, 1:15 at the MCG. It is Collingwood taking on Port Adelaide. Both teams coming off really impressive victories. How do you see this one?
Well, this is a really tough one to pick because I was, I guess, a little bit surprised how well Port Adelaide played against quality opposition in Brisbane. So that was outstanding by them. And they look fabulous with their young midfield, took 24 marks inside 50. Their ball use from half back was excellent. So all those contributing factors, if they are able to reproduce them, they will go very, very close. But I feel like Collingwood are doing very well at the moment. And MCG, 50 or 60,000 people, high energy. Trent McKenzie going out of the side with the injury doesn't help Port Adelaide. And it's just, I know you can bring Cleary back in, but, you know, is it Cleary or is it Burgoyne? I'm just not sure about which way they go. Travis Boak is another one. There's speculation that he's or could be available. I wouldn't be rushing Travis Boak back in, particularly after you said you ran into him in the lift before the game last week. And he
didn't want me to go near his ribs, and I'm normally a hugger, so tender. He didn't want to hug.
And the other one is Jeremy Finlayson, who played in the Sandfall, and apparently his ankle looked quite good, and we know he's been a good player for Port Adelaide as well. So selection could be tricky, but I'm expecting a good game, but I'm expecting Collingwood to continue their winning form.
I want to have it to chat about some of the risks facing Port Adelaide, and there's no one better equipped to answer this question than you. Is there a risk that the elation of round one, where everything went right, that their minds could probably be shifted away from the game? It's one of the questions asked the players post-match on Saturday, where it's very important to focus on the following week because it comes by really quickly. But you'll need to be on to beat Collingwood at the MCG, which then makes another statement to the rest of the competition that Port can win away from home at the ground they're playing at if they're ambitious to make the grand final.
That's it. So let's start with the mindset. If it happens, it happens subconsciously. No player ever thinks, oh, how good was today? Oh, great. You know, next week's going to be easy because we're in great form. No player obviously would think like that. But subconsciously, you can just relax slightly because they would have went into that game against Brisbane on edge. We're not playing well. Our preseason hasn't been great. We're playing against a good team. I hope it goes well. I hope we perform. Whereas when you do that consistently, the hope disappears and you sort of the expectation is that you perform. So I hope that they don't just relax a little bit and say, whew, I'm glad that's out of the way. I'm glad we won our first round as opposed to last year losing five in a row. But this is where the coaches come in. This is their job to make sure that they find that balance of praising the players and giving them affirmation that what they did was great. Their best is good enough to beat anyone. But at the same time, they've got to bring them back down to say, we have to be able to do that again. Otherwise, we're going to get our butts kicked.
So, well, this is my concern for Port Adelaide, if any. Round one's gone now. Mm-hmm. It was a great celebration against the Brisbane Lions, 54 points or whatever at Adelaide Oval. But it really means nothing in the whole scheme of the season. It might be a little bit of a sigh of relief. But how you back up one of those matches, we'll really see where the team's at. Because everything did go right for Port Adelaide last weekend. Jason Horne-Francis kicks a goal in the first quarter. Junior Rioli kicks a few. Lockie Jones is kicking goals. The young midfield dominated Brisbane in that second half. They're not going to have it that easy this match.
But I think they'll look at more the process. They go through and they say, we won contested ball by 37, which is a huge number. So that means we won that contest area. So generally, you know, a prerequisite is that is we got to the stoppage early. We set up well. We were organised. Our ruckmen were, you know, we were communicating of where we want it to be and we're calling the right players, all that type of stuff. So you can give that a big tick. So let's reproduce that. Then you can talk about the 24 marks inside 50. So we're delivering the ball really well. And there was some great work from half back, and Darcy Byrne-Jones started really well. Ryan Burton was outstanding. And there was a whole range of players that played well and delivered the ball. Farrell with his kicking was very, very good again. So they just show them that. And I know they worked a lot on that in the preseason, and it didn't sort of come out in the two preseason games, but it certainly played out in round one. So they'd be pumping them up in that regard to say, look, we are better in this area, and it's been something that we've been working on for a number of years. So it's really about those processes and reproducing those processes that the coaches would be focusing on, because they want to keep rolling on, and they'd be saying, keep trying to take those kicks, keep coming back through the middle, keep backing yourself in to look for the leads inside our forward 50. And part of the other thing as well, when you turn the ball over in good spots, it doesn't let the opposition cloud or flood your forward line. So if we put pressure on and that creates turnover, that we know that equates to uncontested marks in our forward 50. So, you know, that'll be the focus again. Put Collingwood under pressure. They take the game on, Collingwood, so they'll give you a look at it. They'll try and come back through the middle. So I'd be saying, if I was Ken, let's keep the pressure right up. And if they try and come back through the middle and we turn the ball over, we will score against them.
Who's your tip?
Collingwood.
I'm going to go with Port Adelaide. I'm not going to go with Port Adelaide every game too, but I think they realistically have a chance. And I'm hoping that
of course they do.
This is the momentum's going to carry from last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Brisbane were poor at Adelaide Oval last weekend, especially in that second half. So they're not going to be as bad. I'm just confident that Port Adelaide can do that after learning from a few mistakes from last season, and they'll be 2-0. Saturday 4:05 twilight match, the first home game of the season for the Adelaide Crows playing Richmond. Bix, what is the feeling like as a player when you get the opportunity to play your first game at home? I had a conversation with a former Crows player yesterday who said, yes, the anticipation's there. It's very different to a round one, though, because you're coming off a result. So the Crows are coming off a loss against the Giants. But to get the opportunity to play against your home fans for the first time, I think it is 222 days since the Crows had their last home game. That was against North Melbourne last season in August. So what would the players be thinking going into this match?
Oh, there's just excitement. Yeah, you know, your home ground is really your favourite ground, you know, maybe barring the MCG, you know, if it's a final, if there's a big crowd. But you have great memories there. You know, Crows have a good record. They win there fairly regularly. You've got big crowds, you know, Adelaide and Port are lucky they play in front of 30,000 plus each week. You think about the GWS Giants played a home game last week. I'm not sure what the crowd was, but it looked fairly sparse. Isaac Rankin will be introduced to something totally new. Home games at the Gold Coast is probably between 8,000 and 12,000. So he's going to have electricity running through him when he runs out there. He does something well and the crowd just explodes because they want to support him, and it's going to, I think that energy is going to really help Adelaide. So there's an expectation and something that you're looking forward to. You're also, for most of the players, when you play a home game, it also allows your family to come along, you know, so that routine of getting ready and hopping in your car and driving down to the Oval and feeling the atmosphere and the buzz and seeing the supporters, that's a really pleasurable and fun thing to do. So that's part of the home game experience. And, you know, sharing that with family and partners and kids is really cool.
I think there's a genuine buzz in the air too. Probably would be on comparison to when Eddie Betts signed from Carlton with Isaac Rankin, because we know what he can do as a player. So his family gets to watch him at Adelaide Oval in a Crows guernsey, but there is a there's an anticipation for when he's going to kick his first goal, where he's going to kick his first goal. Is he going to kick one of his goals from Eddie's pocket? Is he going to take over the naming rights of Eddie's pocket? So there's a fair bit of anticipation.
Yeah, there is. And I think we got the sneak preview last week, 2 goals, 5. Yeah, like, imagine if he pops up on Saturday afternoon, Saturday twilight.
Twilight, yeah.
And if he has 7 shots a goal, I almost guarantee he'll get a better return than 2 goals, 5. And if he kicks 4 or 5, like we've seen him do already in the preseason, he will light up Adelaide Oval. And if, you know, Eddie Betts is a great comparison. Now, I don't think he's going to get to where Eddie Betts is immediately. Like, he's got his whole career in front of him, and who knows what heights he will scale. And whatever he does, he's going to be Isaac Rankin. He's not going to be Eddie Betts, which is just great. But he will do some things that will create so much excitement at the Adelaide Oval. And that draws people to the game, and they love that, and that's what people want to see. Players who are unique, who take the game on, who take a chance, who try and do special things. And like Jason Horn, Francis at Port, and Junior Rioli and others, Isaac Rankin has that similar ability to thrill. And so I'm hoping that he can have a really good game in his first game at Adelaide Oval.
What do you need to see from the Crows to impress you, coming off a pretty disappointing loss to the Giants? A good first half. Obviously, fatigue played a factor for both teams, so it's not an excuse just isolated to Adelaide. But what do you need to see?
Yeah, look, I'm not buying the fatigue, because Darren Burgess is as good as what there is in the AFL. The Crows are as fit as what they've ever been. Their workload this year was heavier. They've done great work in that space. And the opposition they played were 2 men down for a lot of the game and 3 men down for the last part of the game. So if anyone had an excuse around fatigue, it was the Giants. So I'm not buying that. But what I want to see is, just in the second half, they got really pushed around the contest. So Adelaide have to be stronger. Yes, there's a caveat, because they've got some young and inexperienced players, but in the end, the game doesn't know how old you are, and you have to be able to compete at the level if you're going to play in those midfield roles. And James Raleigh said that their contest work wasn't up to scratch, particularly centre bounce really hurt them. So, you know, I can cop it if you're outbodied at centre bounce because someone's bigger and stronger and you're a young player, but I can't cop when the structure's not right. And they didn't have any cover on the front half of the stoppage, and too often GWS walked out of the centre square and put it really deep, and they scored from that. So I would hope that Adelaide have made some adjustments in the centre square with their structure. Riley O'Brien needs to give a really strong contest in there as well and not let the opposition direct it as easily as they did in the second half. And if they do that, I think that it'll be a really good game. You know, Richmond are an experienced team. They've got some bigger bodies in the middle, but I'm hoping Adelaide's run is going to be something that we walk away from saying, I really like the way that Adelaide played. They moved the ball quickly. They had intent. They got it into their forwards quickly, and we know that they've got some dangerous players in the front half.
You can't really take too much away from Richmond's draw against Carlton in the first game of the season. Tim Taranto slotted in very nicely into the number 14 Guernsey for the Tigers, but that game is similar to a showdown. It doesn't matter what form both teams are in. It's always a big matchup. So for the Tigers, they're always going to have a pretty decent squad. They haven't lost too many players from last year. So what are you expecting from them?
Yeah, look, Richmond's going to be interesting. And I want to touch on selection in a minute as well, because, you know, for Adelaide, they've got some key matchups that I'm just interested to see the way they go there. So Richmond have a couple of key pillars. They've got some real class and X factor around the ball. So that's Dustin Martin, you know, I'd say on ball and forward, Dustin Martin. Shea Bolton is quite outstanding as well, and he seems to be improving each year. Tom Lynch up forward is just, he's a colossus. Jack Revolt, not quite as a threat as what he used to be earlier on in his career, but Lynch, huge, marks it well. They generally put it out in front. And the other one is Rioli off halfback. They've got a really experienced and dour sort of defenders with Grimes and his sort of collective of players, but Rioli's the one that gives them a bit of burst and attack off halfback. So I think they're the types of players that Adelaide have to put some time into. They have to be stronger around the footy. You mentioned, you know, they'll have Cochin and Taranto and Hopper and Martin, who are all, they're not super tall, but what they are is they're all 90 kilos and they're hard to move once they get in the front position. So Adelaide will have to put some work into that. But I'm keen to see, what do they do? McAdam's not playing. Do they There's talk that they'll shuffle Soligo forward. Once again, we'll reiterate that we're talking here on Thursday before selection. Will they shuffle Soligo forward, which is what was done in some of the match simulation at training in there on Wednesday? And will someone like Scholl come in and play on the wing? Will Thilthorpe replace Himmelberg? Thilthorpe was best on ground in the trial match that Adelaide won comfortably. That's what I would do. I would bring Riley in. He's now got confidence. He was unlucky not to play, so I would make that move there. The other one is Lachie Gallant. Lachie Gallant kicked 4 goals in the Sandford. When I think of like-for-like replacements with McAdam, he's probably the most like-for-like. He's probably an inch or two taller than McAdam, but he's that opportunist forward. He leads up, he can take a contested mark, and he hits the scoreboard generally in the games that he's played. So, yeah, will they shuffle their smaller sort of mids and wingers to play half forward roles to cover McAdam? Will they pick another pure forward? Schomburg was the other player at the main training session that was out of the recognised side. He was in the possibles rather than the probables. Does that mean that his position's in jeopardy? So all will be revealed, I guess, by the time many people are listening to this, the side will be picked. But it's a tricky selection for Matthew Nix and his group of coaches.
Two questions for you before we wrap up this preview on the Adelaide-Richmond game. Mark Bickley, can Adelaide win this game?
I'm tipping Adelaide. I think the energy from the crowd, first home game, I saw enough in the first half that says when they get it right, they can create many scoring opportunities. And that's the thing. Can they create enough or generate enough ball from the centre square and the middle of the ground to get it to their very dangerous forward line? In the second half last week, I think they had 20 inside 50s. Just not enough.
Well, you've answered the second question because it was, will Adelaide win this game? And we've asked you on social media too. So your tips for this weekend, they disagree with you, Bick. 61% saying that Richmond will get the 4 points over the Crows. As you said, home ground advantage is growing at Adelaide Oval, so it should be a big crowd too.
Yeah, it's an intangible, isn't it? And that's the thing. Mine is probably more heart than head, and I'm hoping that they will find that sort of energy with, you know, feed off the crowd. And I saw that last week with Port Adelaide. So I got 4.5 out of 9 last week for my tips. Mm. So I'm hardly in cracking form. Tough round last week. I'm hoping I'm going to improve this week.
It's always good both sides coming off a victory too. If Port Adelaide defeat Collingwood and the Crows defeat Richmond going into a showdown, you want the showdown to be both teams coming off a win to really build up the hype and anticipation.
Yeah, well, that is the case. And once again, the last thing Adelaide would want would be coming in 0-2. That would be the doomsday scenario for them. So once again, they want to get 4 points on the board, play with a little bit of confidence. They showed something last week and we got glimpses. We need to continue to see Adelaide build on that.
Let's continue our round two preview in the 2023 AFL season. We are recording this on a Thursday, so final teams haven't been announced yet. Some of the teams have certainly done, though, in regards to the Carlton Geelong match, which is happening on Thursday night at the MCG. This is going to be a big game as well because Carlton coming off the draw, Geelong going down to Collingwood, and a couple of names have had to be replaced with Tom Stewart with that injury, and Carlton making a couple of changes too. So what do you make of this one?
Yeah, George Hewitt out of the midfield for Carlton, amongst others. I'm actually, because once again, I'm clouded here because I've tipped Carlton to be a top four finisher. I feel like there's a bit of bias creeping.
So you
in.
Want us to change this preview to basically Mark Bickley's tipping?
No. What I'm saying is, in my head, I've got some bias because I want Carlton to win and I want them to do well this year. And so from that, it formulates the way I'm going to describe this match. So I think Carlton are going to win tonight. And there's a couple of reasons why. I just feel like Geelong, their preseason has been very measured, and I don't think Geelong are at, you know, anything over 90%.
And they would have started a lot later.
They start later, and I don't think they want to rush into it. So what Chris Scott would be doing would be saying, you know what, we will be hitting our straps after 4 or 5 rounds, and we're not going to rush through preseason to make sure we're flying in round one, because we know that we want to be great in July and August and September, not in March and April probably. So I think their preparation is a little bit behind some other teams, and I think Carlton are the opposite. Carlton, out of the finals last year, they're livid, so their players come back, they're hungry, and they are raring to go round one. wasn't as impressive as what I was hoping in round one. Had their moments, but I still think they've, with the absence of Stewart, that's a game changer as well for me. He's their best defender and so creative for them. So I still feel like this is Carlton. They've still got enough talent around the ball, and they've got enough guns up forward to be able to kick a winning score. And like I said, Geelong, just not quite where they... we come to expect them to be when they're at their best.
I think I'm with you. I think Carlton win that one too. Friday night footy, the Brisbane Lions play Melbourne, and that is a really juicy matchup, Mark Bickley.
It is not getting any easier with the tipping, is it? You can build a case for both of these sides. Melbourne did what they had to do against the Bulldogs. They finished really strongly. Got great talent, obviously. The biggest disappointment for round one was definitely Brisbane. You know, a lot of people had Brisbane as their premiership favourites, if not premierships, in certainly top four, and they were a fair way off it last week. I think most people think they're going to be really difficult to beat at the Gabba. They have been in recent times, so I don't see that changing anytime soon. So, yeah, like, I'm not sure which way this is going to go. I'm in the end, once again, this comes down to human nature. My human nature says that Brisbane at home will be desperate, will be absolutely desperate to atone for what they did last week. And I'm expecting them to bounce back and get over the top of Melbourne.
It's almost the altitude cup at the Gabba, because Oscar McInerney, Joe Danaher, Eric Hipwood, all of these tall players against Brodie Grundy and Max Gorn. I think I'm with you. I think Brisbane Lions will win that one against the Demons.
Benny Brown as well.
There's just too many tall players there. All right, let's continue our preview. Marvel Stadium, Saturday night, Western Bulldogs play St Kilda.
Western Bulldogs playing St Kilda. Now, this is, once again, this is a really tough one, and this is why tipping is fraught with danger early on in the season. Western Bulldogs disappointing last week. St Kilda were outstanding with 15 players injured, many of them key players. I just can't, I know the Saints will be rough and tough and dour, you know, Ross Lyon style, and he'll motivate them and they'll come out breathing fire. But I still think talent gets the Western Bulldogs over the line. I think they're too talented a team, and they've got Norton and others with height and lob. Also, Lob's not playing, but they've got Darcy and Ugelhagen. They've got enough talent in their front half, you would think, to mark it against the depleted St Kilda defence.
I am with you. I think it's the Western Bulldogs. Optus Stadium get to see Fremantle play for the first time. A very unique round of football, because there's two games at Optus Stadium this weekend over in WA, thanks to Ed Sheeran. So Fremantle have a chance to ruin the party and celebrations for the North Melbourne Football Club.
Yeah, look, once again, on the back of what I said about Brisbane, Fremantle were the second, if just behind Brisbane, most disappointing team for their inability to do anything really dangerous against St Kilda, as we said, who were depleted. So Justin Longmuir would have been absolutely livid, and I'd expect him to be able to exact some sort of response from his players and get them up against North Melbourne, who, whilst they won against the West Coast Eagles, it's hard to draw a form line through that match because we don't think the West Coast Eagles are great.
I'm with you, Fremantle, for the win. Couple of games to go. Let's rattle through these ones quite quickly. On Sunday, 12:40, the early game at the SCG, Sydney play Hawthorn.
Yep, like Sydney there. Hard to see after last week, Hawthorn dismal against Essendon. Sam Mitchell said, we're better than that and we will perform better, but I don't think they're going to do it against Sydney.
I will say that Sydney will win by 80 points.
80 points?
80 points. It's a big call.
Can we log that?
Yeah, okay. Log that in. On Sunday at Marvel Stadium, Essendon play the Gold Coast Suns, and this was my headline tip of Great Scott, so I'm with the Bombers.
This is a toss of the coin job for me.
I thought you were going to say top of the table clash, and I thought, have you been drinking?
Toss of the coin job. I actually thought that Gold Coast would improve again on last year, and they finished somewhere around 10th or 11th or 12th or something like that last year. So I thought they'd be pressing for the eight. And I thought they would be above Essendon, but Essendon were good. They touched up Hawthorn, but that's hard to put a form line through. I'm going with the Suns with the home ground advantage. So
ooh.
Gold Coast for me.
At Marvel.
Oh, sorry. Is that I thought it was at Heritage Stadium.
No, but that's okay.
Well, I'm going Essendon then. Yeah. Gee whiz, thanks, you saved me there.
No, you're welcome. And just finally, at Optus Stadium, again, the second game there in a weekend, West Coast playing GWS.
Saw enough of GWS last week to suggest that they're going to be better than they were last year, and I've seen enough of West Coast to understand that they're not very good this year. So it is GWS flying halfway across the country on a short break, coming off a hot game, to still be good enough to beat the Eagles.
They call it a business trip. They are there just to get the business done. They leave and they just go straight away. That's
someone
what they describe.
Pays for it.
Yeah, it's just a quick business trip and they are there and that's taken care of. Mark Bickley, as always, it's been a pleasure. Good luck with your tips this weekend. If you are going to have a wager, of course, do it responsibly, and we can review all of this on Tuesday morning on SENSA.